We could spend all day saying thank you to those who support WSHU with financial contributions. I'm WSHU reporter Ebon Udama. And one way I say thank you is by covering Connecticut political news to help you stay connected and informed. Your financial support is the lifeblood of the WSHU newsroom. Thank you for making this trusted resource available to our community. We're expanding our world together.
You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from the Long Island Sound region. Attorneys general from our region say DOJ access to personal data is unconstitutional. Prospect Medical Holdings says it's running out of money. A Connecticut bill proposes new policies for libraries amid uptick in book bans. Plus, you don't have to travel far to see winter wildlife up close. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. New York Attorney General Letitia James says billionaire Elon Musk doesn't have authority to access sensitive personal data on file at the U.S. Treasury Department. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has more.
James is suing the Donald Trump administration over his controversial decision to give Musk access to Social Security numbers and bank account information at Treasury. Connecticut Attorney General William Tong and other state attorneys general have joined the lawsuit. James says it's unconstitutional.
We're not going to bow to the president or to Elon Musk. It's important that individuals understand that right now Elon Musk is untethered to any accountability at all.
Trump has said Musk is investigating waste, fraud, and abuse at federal agencies. James calls it a power grab. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
Prospect Medical Holdings says it's running out of money. WSHU's Molly Ingram has more on the company that owns three hospitals in Connecticut.
Prospect owns Waterbury, Manchester Memorial, and Rockville General Hospitals. They filed for bankruptcy last month after a cyber attack seriously hurt their operations and finances. In a recent court filing, a Prospect official said the company would run out of money entirely before the end of February if they couldn't sell off some of their healthcare centers. Prospect has been trying to sell its three Connecticut hospitals to Yale New Haven Hospital for more than a year now. Yale New Haven says the hospitals aren't worth the price they agreed to before the cyber attack. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
2024 was a pretty good year for four universities on Long Island. WSHU's Shelley Hassman-Kadish reports they made significant gains in their endowments.
Hofstra University in Hempstead is up to more than $880 million, a 12% bump from last year. Long Island University and Molloy College have added to their endowments, too. But SUNY Stony Brook has seen the biggest percentage growth. They've added nearly a third of their total endowment since last year. That's according to a survey of more than 650 universities from the National Association of College and University Business Officers and the nonprofit Common Fund Institute. All four schools outperformed the average increase among the universities that took part in this survey, which was about 11%. Shelley Hassman-Kadish, WSHU News.
Bundle up and grab your binoculars. We're taking a trip down the Connecticut River to see some winter wildlife. That story is ahead.
Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
You rely on WSHU for beautiful classical music. We rely on you to help pay for it. We're cutting our winter fundraiser in half to bring you more of the music you count on hearing every day. But we can only shorten the pledge drive with your support right now. It will be matched dollar for dollar. Support classical music. Give now at WSHU.org or 800-777-9748.
A federal court overturned two bribery-related charges against former Nassau County executive Ed Mangano, but upheld his other corruption convictions. The court ruled he couldn't be convicted under federal bribery statuses. Mangano is serving a 12-year prison sentence. 9 Long Island residents have been indicted for kidnapping and trafficking a 14-year-old girl from East Patchogue. Prosecutors say the defendants sexually assaulted the girl and traded her for drugs. She was missing for 25 days until she was found on a boat. 3 defendants face first-degree kidnapping charges, which could lead to life in prison. The others face sentences between 4 and 25 years. Connecticut's Foxwoods Casino ranked among Forbes' 2025 list of America's best employers. The magazine says the ranking reflects the company's commitment to a supportive workplace. CEO Jason Guyot praised employees as the key to the casino's success. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont joked about renaming Long Island Sound to Connecticut Sound on the social media platform X. That's after Apple and Google Maps changed Gulf of Mexico to Gulf of America at the request of President Donald Trump. Lamont joked the Long Island Sound name is dated and said Connecticut Sound has, quote, a real ring to it. As if our listeners didn't have enough to argue about with the pizza debate, you guys will have to let us know what you think. A new bill in Connecticut proposes to develop policies for public and school libraries if materials are challenged by members of the community. WSHU's Janice Roman reports the bill comes as book bans increase around the country.
Legislators, parents, and child advocates met Thursday at a public hearing to discuss the bill. The Committee on Children heard statements from both supporters and opponents of the proposed bill during the roughly 9-hour-long meeting. Senator Bob Duff says the focus of the bill is not to completely block the banning of books, but instead prohibit banning books simply because of a personal bias.
It requires school and public libraries have policies for book curation in place to allow for the removal of library materials for this exact reason.
Duff says Connecticut saw 113 challenges to books in libraries in 2023. He says the bill will ensure that objective consideration be given to each book that is challenged and ensure that people of diverse backgrounds have representation. Janice Roman, WSHU News.
The Connecticut River is a source of life for many different species, from fish and aquatic animals to birds of prey like hawks and bald eagles. WSHU's Brian Scott Smith took a cruise to find out more.
Welcome aboard, everybody. My name is Dan. I'm the captain today. I'm just going to talk about safety for a moment. Obviously, you're on a boat, and we're going out in the wintertime, so stay on board.
That's Dan Thompson from the Connecticut River Museum, who is one of our guides on the first winter wildlife eagle cruise of the year. It's a cold February day as our boat, the River Quest, heads south towards the river mouth at the Long Island Sound, and it's not long before we catch sight of the eagles we've come to see.
It's amazing and magnificent for sure.
That's Dave Lucio from Guildford, who has stood in the cold on the bow of the boat, taking photos of the eagles as they fly by.
I'm a bird lover. We have a place on the shore now, and we're always watching the birds. It's like having a zoo right in front of our house.
Dave is one of 26 others who have braved the cold. Most are locals, but two bird watchers, Jonathan and his partner, have come from Bayshore on Long Island to try out the cruise for the first time.
We just love eagles. We actually love eagles and penguins. And I guess eagles are the closest to Long Island at the moment.
Jonathan said they were both surprised at how many they are seeing.
I'm very shocked. Yeah. I was expecting maybe to see one, you know, like mags, but then to see all these eagles, I'm like, it's more than what I expected.
We catch up with Kathy Malin, our second Eagle Cruise guide, in between her duties as onboard narrator and, as she puts it, everything else.
Kathy, talk to us about the Eagle Cruise that we're on to date. It's going very well.
So having a cold winter and the river freezing over has really brought down the visiting eagles to come join the resident eagles that we have here year-round.
How do they survive along here on this Connecticut River?
Yeah, it's really interesting. Of all the chicks that will hatch this year, only about half of them will make it through their first year, and only half of those will make it through their second year. So if they can make it through that second year, there's a good chance that they'll make it to adulthood.
As Kathy gets back to answering people's questions, we grab some time with Captain Dan Thompson, who tells us the number of eagles on the river has increased a lot since the 70s, when the Clean Water Act stopped the river from being further polluted.
Yeah, if you were out here, I don't know, 30 years ago or so, you probably would not see. But they have been steadily growing in numbers since the banning of DDT, and they're really doing quite well in Connecticut. As of a few years ago, we had 80 active nests in the state, and I'm sure that number has gone up.
According to figures from the Wildlife Division of the Connecticut Department of Energy and Environmental Protection, who monitor the state's eagle population, active nests peaked at 105 back in 2021. Those numbers have dipped slightly, and as Kathy explains, the eagles and other raptors are still being poisoned by other chemicals like rodenticides and lead shot, as well as the latest deadly avian flu, H5N1.
Bird flu is very contagious, so there's always a concern. I know that they have been some cases, though, if one gets it, and like you saw today, they're all hanging out together sharing a meal, it could be disastrous. We hope for the best. We hope that it starts to wane.
As the cruise comes to an end, we get word that the first eagle in the state has tested positive and died from avian influenza in the northeast corner. And with winter the prime breeding time for eagles, the uptick in this new deadlier bird flu couldn't have come at a worse time. Brian Scott Smith, WSHU News.
For the latest news from the Long Island Sound region, or maybe it'll be the Connecticut Sound soon, listen to us on the radio, stream at WSHU.org, or download the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. For some behind the scenes here at the station, give us a follow on Instagram. You can find us at WSHU Public Radio. And if you have any thoughts or story ideas you want to share with us, please feel free to reach out by email. It's news@WSHU.org. I'm Sabrina Garone. Enjoy the rest of your day and have a wonderful weekend. I'll speak to you on Monday.